Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Jim Dale started his professional career as a 17-year-old comedian, playing the music halls of Britain. A little down the road, he became a pop singing star during the early days of rock and roll.
My baby, I need you.
Be my girl.
To hug you and squeeze you.
Be my girl.
I wanna do things for you.
All I need
you. Be my girl.
And appeared in 14 of the legendary Carry On films for British cinema. At the request of Laurence Olivier, he joined the British National Theatre. He starred in the first musical produced by Cameron Mackintosh, The Card, and played Fagin in Oliver at the London Palladium. He first appeared on the American stage in 1973. In 1980, he won the Tony Award for his work in Barnum.
There is a sucker born every minute. Each time that second hand sweeps through the top like dandelions, up they pop their ears so big, their eyes so wide and low. I feed them bona fide baloney with no truth in it. Why, you can bet I'll find some room to buy my corn. Cause there's a sure a shooting sucker born a minute. And I'm referring to the minute you was born.
That's about half of his bio, and I didn't even mention that he wrote the Academy Award-nominated song Georgie Girl, or the fact that he masterfully narrated the audiobooks for the Harry Potter series. Jim Dale tells these and other stories of his career in his one-man show Just Jim Dale, which ran off Broadway, produced by the Roundabout Theatre Company last summer. The show is moving to London, but first, Jim will perform at Helsinki Hudson in Hudson, New York this Sunday, March 22nd, in a show presented in association with Showstoppers New York. It is my great pleasure to welcome Jim Dale back to the Roundtable.
My pleasure.
You did this show at Helsinki Hudson last year, and I think a couple of other places, and then the Roundabout Theatre Company ran it off Broadway for the summer.
It was due to the success of the show at the Helsinki that the representative of the Roundabout was in the audience that night and immediately went back to the New York and spoke to Todd Haynes, who I've worked with for four or five shows, and he immediately said, would you like to have a 12-week season in our theater? And of course, this was wonderful for us.
How did the show come to Helsinki Hudson in the first place? Why did you do it there when you first did do it?
Well, we'd been doing it around the country just to polish it, just to get it. We didn't quite know what was going to happen to it. Once we'd really polished it, we needed a good audience to determine whether it was worth pushing it any further. And Helsinki was the first really good audience where it all happened. And to get the sort of standing ovation that we received there was wonderful for us. And then we thought, well, could this happen off-Broadway? And, of course, every night it was the same thing for 12 weeks. So with this under our belt, this Jim Dale show, it was wonderful to know that somebody from London, a theater owner, she owned five theaters in London, she came to see the show, came backstage and immediately asked me if I'd like to do the season in London, in a London theater. And at that particular time, I had lost 11 pounds in weight through doing the one-man show, and I was extremely tired, and I didn't really give her an answer then. But later on, I realized what a wonderful opportunity this was, you know, to actually go back to England, where I had been a character or many different characters in a series of films called the Carry On films. Mm-hmm. And I'd also been appearing, say, as Fagin in Cameron Mackintosh's Oliver at the London Palladium. So nobody had ever really seen me in England for 40 years as myself. So I thought this was a marvelous opportunity to say hello to a few friends as well. That will be happening in May.
Have you been able to have a rest and put some weight back on?
Oh, yes, I did. I needed to write the script and to memorize the 14,000 words that I have to memorize in the two-hour show. So we went on a boat through the Panama Canal last week. That was wonderful. So it was a chance to get a little bit of sun, a little bit of deck chair relaxing, and mm-hmm. also to memorize the new material that we're putting into the one-man show.
Are you working with the same director, pianist, and musical director?
Oh, I couldn't work with anyone else. No, I have I love talent, and I'm surrounded by it in the form of Richard Maltby, who is one of the great Broadway directors. He also helped write Miss Saigon, the musical, mm-hmm. Ain't Misbehaving. Richard's talent as not just a writer and for music and script, but as an editor is wonderful. My pianist was Cy Coleman, second in command, while Cy was writing all his wonderful musicals. And his name is Mark York. And with my musical arranger, whose name is Aaron Gandy. Aaron has done so much on Broadway, conductor in the orchestra pit for The Lion King, for many of the big Broadway shows. So I have all of these people. It's not just a one-man show. It's a four-man show. And without the other three, I couldn't possibly do it.
What are you putting in the show that will be different on the London stage than it was here in the U.S.?
Over in England, they had a series of films that were being made for the cinema called the Carry On films. Mm-hmm. Over the last, over the last 40 years, they made 33 films for the cinema, using the same actors, the same repertory company of the cinema, they were called. They were called the Carry On team. Seven very distinguished comedic actors, and I was asked to become one of the permanent members of the Carry On team. So I will have to talk about this, because everybody in England knows the Carry On films. They're as popular in England as the I Love Lucy or MASH is over here. They are shown three or four times a week, and over the years, many documentaries have been made about the Carry On films, and everybody in them has literally become an icon. The British Museum have accepted all 33 films into their archives as the best example of 20th century British humor. So it's inevitable that I will be called upon to talk about the Carry On films. And so instead of showing snippets of films that all of them in England have already seen, I thought we would go in a different direction and just talk about the various actors in the series and perhaps stories that no one has ever heard before. So that will occupy 6 to 7 minutes of the new one-man show. And I'm looking forward to trying it out on the audience at Hudson.
Were you fond of making the movies when you were making them?
They were some of my most wonderful memories. I was working with people who had the greatest sense of humor. We were a team, a wonderful team. We knew how each other would react. The spotlight was on each of us in turn throughout the film at some time or another. So these actors were the actors who just gave. They give. You would be in a scene with them and they would be giving to you, knowing that later the camera would be on them and you would be returning that by giving to them. It was a wonderful shared experience. And the only unfortunate thing is, out of the seven of the Carry On team, there are only two of us left now. A wonderful comedic actress in England called Barbara Windsor, and myself. The others, unfortunately, have died. But we're talking about 40 years ago, of course. But they still stay young in the eyes of all the television audiences in England who see them constantly.
You mentioned a moment ago that you played Fagin in the Cameron Mackintosh production of Oliver a while ago now. That seems like just a perfect role for you with both. I mean, everybody thinks, you know, Fagin is one of the villains of Oliver, but he has kind of a caretaker element to him, too. It seems like it would have been a great role. Was that a pleasant experience, a role you enjoyed biting into?
When I was first asked by Cameron Mackintosh to play the role, the director was Sam Mendes, the great Sam Mendes, mm-hmm. and Lionel Bart wrote it. And so I asked Sam Mendes, who was Fagin in his eyes? And he said, you know that comedy character, a cartoon character whose eyes go round and round and round and round in circles? And I said, that sort of character? And Lionel Bart said, he is a front-cloth vaudeville comic. Now, having been a front-cloth vaudeville comic for 2 years in my life, I knew exactly what they wanted with the Fagin. Don't forget, this was not Oliver Twist. This was a musical called Oliver.
Of course.
Based on Oliver Twist. And in our musical, obviously, if the Fagin was such a villain, why would the children come back to live with him every night? They had to come back for a reason, and the reason was that he loved those kids, and they loved him. And so that came out in the show. And over the years, while I was there, we had so many young, brilliant young actors playing the children in Oliver. Eddie Redmayne was one of the children. I think roughly around the time I was doing it. And Eddie went on to win the Academy Award for this year.
That's right, he did, for The Theory of Everything.
That's right. So Eddie started off as one of the urchins in Oliver at the London Palladium.
I feel like he could still play one if he wanted to. It's a little bit tall.
Yes, I would. He's ageless. I just loved it because it gave me an opportunity to join in. And the person who did it before, no names mentioned, didn't particularly like having the children around him. He wasn't very funny.
Well, it's the wrong show for that attitude.
That's right. So every night I used to dress up as Fagin and go and sit with the boys in their dressing rooms and play cards with them and joke with them, chat with them, so that when I finally made my appearance among them on stage, their eyes would light up. And I think the audience saw that, and that's what was necessary in that musical. And so it wasn't just a solo performance by Fagin. It was Fagin with a group of wonderful supporting young actors around him. And a great time was had by all, as they say.
As you said a little while ago, you started as a vaudeville comedian, which is related to but extremely different from stand-up comedy as we think of it these last several decades. Do you ever take in a stand-up show? Do you have any use for it, considering it's so different from what you did when you did the similar job?
Yes, my stand-up comedy was to a family audience. And when one arrived at the local music hall in that area, the manager came backstage to say hello to you on the Monday evening and then happened to mention that it was a family audience, and therefore if he heard one blue joke coming out of my mouth, he would drop the curtain immediately, and I would never work in that area of England again, and he would spread word to the other music hall owners, and I would be ostracized from then on. So all of us in those days had to rely on very clean material and very visual comedy to get our laughs. And I think I came up in a different world. There was no mother something this and mother something that. Mm-hmm. That was too easy. Anybody can get a laugh by just repeating those words on stage. So I've never needed to be crude on stage to that extent. You know, it's my one-man show has a few words in it that I wouldn't have used in the early music hall days, but I was brought up to make an audience laugh with clean material, and I've stayed with that throughout my career.
I imagine it would rely sometimes then on a sly double entendre.
That's right. We British are known for that. Probably the most famous example of that was when a postcard arrived from my grandmother, who was at the seaside in England. And the seaside sell dirty postcards that you send home. This dirty postcard that arrived at my house when I was about 7 years old made me fall about with laughter. It was a man standing in the sea, up the water up to his knees, and he was a very, very fat man with a big Victorian swimming costume covering his big bulgy belly, and he's looking at the horizon with his hand up to his eyes, and underneath are written the words, "I haven't seen my little Willy all day." Now that was an hilarious dirty postcard to all of us children, but it was a double entendre. Obviously it was fun to receive that from your grandmother, and it's also fun to send your grandmother similar type of postcards. So as children, we grew up with this slight crudity in our comedy, and it stays with us. There are certain words in America that mean that have a different meaning in English. So when two English are listening to an American talk to them, and that American happens to drop a certain phrase, then the two Englishmen will look at each other and literally burst out laughing because it means something different in English. And that's a joy. So certain expressions that I've been using in my American version of Just Jim Dale will come out, and I'll substitute them with the sort of expressions that the English are far more used to.
In the late 1950s, famed music producer George Martin was looking for a British Elvis and found one in you. It's another aspect of your multifaceted career. Do you talk about that time in the show?
All of this is mentioned in the show. It's very difficult. When you're doing 60 years of reminiscing to squash everything into 2 hours. It's impossible. So one has to literally pick and choose. And what we've thrown out hasn't necessarily been material that is inferior. It's been material that is worth putting into another one-man show, and even enough material to make a third one-man show. There is so much to delve into from the archives, from my diaries, and from the memories that I have of those days.
You played Dr. Terminus in Walt Disney's Pete's Dragon, a movie that I've watched I don't know how many times. I do still currently own it in my private movie collection. Was working on that Walt Disney film fun? Was that a good experience?
Oh, of course it was. I mean, to be on screen with 3 Academy Award winners, Shelley Winters, Red Buttons, and Mickey Rooney was just a joy. In fact, I was with 4 Academy Award winners. Honor White won the Academy Award, and she was the choreographer. She won the Academy Award for Oliver with Ron Moody, the musical Oliver that was made into a film many years ago. So I was working with 4 Academy Award winners. Any actor would give his right leg for that. Well, not necessarily his right leg, but a left glove for that.
Jim Dale will perform as part of the Helsinki on Broadway series at Helsinki Hudson in Hudson, New York, on Sunday, March 22nd at 7 p.m., I can't thank you enough for entertaining my questions, and I look very much forward to being entertained at Helsinki Hudson.
I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Just Jim Dale will be at Helsinki Hudson as part of their Helsinki on Broadway series, presented in association with Showstoppers New York, this Sunday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Hey there, Georgie girl, swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there
inside you.
Hey there,